This is a production of Cornell University.
Monday, April 19th, GPSA meeting.
All right, welcome friends to the final GPSA meeting of the year. We have a fair bit of business to conduct and then election of new officers for next year's GPSA to attend to. So first item on the agenda is the roll call of the 2009-2010 GPSA voting body. Tom Balserke?
Here.
Jason Beekman? Chris Clark?
Yep.
Brian Forster?
Yeah.
Mike Genkin? Erica Gutierrez? Chris Ekman? Ben Hebner? Preston Mansfield? Srish Mugasan? Disha Patel? Sarah Petratus? Leon Schneider? Did Leon? Okay. Asha Sakura?
Not here.
Okay. Ed Strong?
Here.
Dave Walden?
Here.
Bernita Webbender?
Here.
Sylvia Zan? Okay. So next item on the agenda is open forum. If anyone has any issue that you would like to bring forth, which is not on this evening's agenda.
Yes.
Please do so now.
I have two announcements. The first one is a reminder that elections for the student elected trustee will be beginning tomorrow at 8 a.m. and going until Thursday at 10 a.m. So please go on and vote for the next grad elected student elected trustee seat. And my second announcement is from Ashwana Fricker from the Department of Microbiology, one of my colleagues. She's trying to get together a Michael Jackson tribute. So if you are interested in dancing to some of MJ's songs, somewhere public, maybe like the Commons, possibly on May 7th, please contact her, ADF27. I'll only go if they're going to do the moonwalk there, so that's it for me.
I'll go to see Brian do the moonwalk.
Maybe on May 7th then.
Creston?
I have a question for you.
First thing in the morning.
Any other points for open forum? Anything that's not on the agenda that someone would like to bring forth? Any introductions for someone who is not normally in our ranks that's here this evening? All right, seeing none, we'll move on to announcements and reports. I guess, was there someone? Oh, sorry. I didn't see anything. Announcements and reports. Approval of minutes. You've received the minutes. Are there any motions on the floor?
Motion to approve minutes.
Second.
It's been seconded. Is there any opposition? Seeing none, the minutes will be approved as written. Now we have executive updates. I don't have any updates today. We'll move on to Erica.
Just one about the T-shirts. Ash on the communications committee is working on it. We're not sure yet if we're going to be able to order them. We've been sort of trying to communicate with Amy about it. If it's not something that we'll do this year, then it's something that we'll try and do at the beginning of next year. That's awesome.
Okay. Brian? Okay. We'll
No, no.
Okay.
There we go. It's like the finish. Before I talk. Anyway, so I have quite a bit of announcements. So I'll quickly go through it. First is committee appointments. So most committees will continue running until May 31st, and on June 1st. So please check the Office of Assemblies on the website where all the committees are listed. Your name is there, as well as when your appointment ends. Some end this June, some end next June. So if you have any questions, please see me. In the committee reports, there was one request for information from the Faculty Library Board. Alex Melnick has been representing the GPSA this year on the Faculty Library Board. And if anyone has any comments regarding the entomology library, to email him, because that's currently under discussion. Let us move that material to Mann Library. Once again, 12th day is coming up May 7th. If you have any questions, problems, or an interest in volunteering, contact Travis, our GPSA rep. And the RAND focus group, so this is something I announced last time. What's basically going to happen is they're taking two groups. One, a random sampling of graduate students, and then second group is the key informants. Everyone who emails me asking to be part of the RAND group, I've sent to the university planner as the key informants for the GPSA. So they'll be contacting you hopefully soon. I sent her another email this morning, and hopefully you can set something up. It should be one meeting, 1 hour. That should be it. As for the mental health, I'll wait for the ad hoc updates. Finally, Thursday, there is a ad hoc advisory committee meeting regarding Marcellus Shale. So if you're interested in that, it's going to be in Kennedy Hall this Thursday at 4:30. If you wish to speak, send an email to adhocmarcellus@cornell, 250 words, with your department name and comments. Finally, my last thing is, since it's the last meeting, I want to take a moment and just acknowledge the work that the Operations and Staffing Committee has done, helping me with all the business for the GPSA. So I think they deserve a round of applause. And the other committee I interim chair is the Mental Health Committee. They deserve a round of applause, too. That's it for me for the ad hoc update.
Okay. I guess we have a standing committee update then. Appropriations, any update?
No updates. Last night I talked about some of the improvements that we implemented with SD funding. Most, if not all of you, were talking about the email. Nothing major, but we talked about those things otherwise. So then we need to be supposed to sit down.
Very good. Thank you, Dave. Events committee, Streisha isn't here. Would someone like to speak up for the events committee? Chris?
Yeah. So, as you all know, the Grand Ball is coming up this Friday. If you haven't bought tickets yet, yes, as of Monday, or just yesterday, we had 50 tickets left in each location in Red Barn, and the council is coming to take on them.
We have more than that.
Oh, we do? Okay. Wow, we have a lot of tickets left, so yeah, please, I guess, I'm a little bit of a sandbag, please, if you can, push the ticket sales, because obviously we need to sell all the tickets. So thank you for bringing that to my attention, I'll tell that to Trish, so we can push forward on the public to the department. Thank you. Like staffing for it, we're good on volunteers and everything, so we should be good to go forward. Thank you.
The information for Grad Ball is also on the blog, and Brittany gracefully got it up onto the Office of Assemblies website. So if you just go to the events committee site, there's a link that says Grad Ball, and information on this year's Grad Ball is there as well.
Thanks, Brittany. FC update, Asha?
Just a reminder that April 30th is the deadline for the 2010-2011 annual budget submission. You can go to the following website, the FC Applying for Funds website, for the application. And on the 10th, I held a funding workshop, so there were about 40 people from various representing organizations there that I went through and told them how to apply online and whatnot, but there is now a PowerPoint that I showed for groups that weren't able to send a representative that they can access that, you know, tells the basic qualifications, basic groups that you can apply for, and then sort of a tutorial on how to go through and apply online. There were some bugs in it, but I think we've worked out that application. More importantly, the spring application review day is May 8th at noon, and aside from my committee members, who I would like to thank for their hard work this year, I have no volunteers outside of the committee. So if you guys have time on that day, or even an hour or two, please contact me and let me know if you could, you know, come by and help review applications so that it helps the process go quicker and smoother. So let me know. My email address is gs259, and there will be food provided, so, you know, come for lunch. Yep. Okay, can you just email me?
Sure.
I'll not remember.
Are all the voting members getting the emails about the updates of the funding process? Because I keep getting them, and I'm not aware that I'm an officer of any club.
I don't know, because I get all of them too, so, but I am an officer of a club, so I don't know whether...
Do other voting members who are officers of the club get those as well?
Yeah.
Okay, good, then I feel bad. We're going to have some responsibility.
Okay. So maybe it's just that they think voting members, if you don't have somebody, you might be able to talk to your president or treasurer of whatever club is in your field, so maybe that's the point of why all the voting members are on the reserve. I don't know. I didn't know they were on there.
Any other point, Asher?
Nope, that's all.
Questions for Asha? Okay, Creston, is there anything from the Advocacy Committee?
The Family Services Committee met, and they've been discussing about orientation programming for next year for families, and it sounds like they're going to be delaying orientation next year due to budget concerns, so they're focused on online resources, and it sounds like there could be another child care grant battle next year.
Do you have any more details on that? Or?
No, because the budget hasn't been allocated to any departments for the child care grant.
Okay.
So we'll just have to wait for you.
So people who are, maybe if, correct, if you want to give just some background, because since we have next year's GPSA here, on what happened this year, so that they could be prepared for next year, perhaps?
So this year, the child care grant for graduate students was, it changed offices, but through the implementation of it, and so it changed from the human resources to the graduate school. And then the graduate school implemented a cap that was existent on graduate students' applications, that it was always existent, but the human resources office wasn't actually deploying it. So there was an effective decrease in the amount of funding that graduate students got.
And next year's could be more?
They don't know. The budget hasn't been allocated yet. So it could actually be a higher amount, or it could be less. Just something to be aware of.
Thanks, Kristen. Questions? Ed?
No.
Ad hoc committee updates? Is there any ad hoc committee present that would like to give us an update on what's going on in the committee?
Yes. Going back. Okay. So resolution 14 was sent out. The committee, the next committee meeting, which I don't know when that's going to be, hopefully soon, is going to look at the proposal and begin to figure out how to get the proactive healthcare material onto Brenda Wick's website. Second thing is to look at the Cornell search function. So it's kind of interesting. If you type in stress management into the Cornell search engine, the Johnson School of Management comes up first, and then Gannett. So, so I've emailed the university webmaster, and they're actually going to work with the committee and Gannett to fix that, so when you type in something, it actually comes up first. Based on Raniel's the essay liaison to the GPSA this last meeting, something else we're going to look at is mental health clause in course syllabi. We're not too sure how that's going to go, but it's something for discussion. And as of 4 o'clock today, the new student advocacy resource sheet is now sent out. Everyone, the voting members, got it. Brenda's going to send it out to all the graduate fields. It's now corrected on all team GPSA websites, and hopefully next it'll be going out to the graduate fields. So that's it, Phil.
Great. Thanks, Ron. Any other ad hoc committee? Wishing to give an update?
That's great. Mention something from the UA to
the test.
Tomorrow's student election also includes an item from the University Assembly to amend the UA charter. So if any of your constituencies ask you what the hell this is, basically in order to amend the University Assembly's charter right now, many portions of it require a 20% voter turnout in campus-wide referendum. And this is obviously a hurdle which is nearly impossible. No election in recent history has had a 20% voter turnout. So what we're asking is attempting to change the process by which the UA can amend its charter via this current referendum and bring it in line with how the other assemblies amend their charters. Still provisional upon the president and trustees' approval, so it's the same process that will lead us to. This will probably fail, so we very much do just simply fail by the way of not getting 20% voter turnout. But we very much do need as many people to vote for it, and I would hope that you would encourage them to vote yes. And then we can go to further avenues, but we want to try this first. Yeah.
Is there at least a little blurb on the website about what this is, or is it just going to say, like, referendum, yes or no,
so
without them having any idea what this is?
I don't know how the, maybe you know how the ballot.
It's on the website. There's a little bit of information about it, and then you vote.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So there's some.
Yeah, when you go to, like, the Office of Assembly candidate profile, that's very top to top, and that's just my friend.
It only needs 50% to pass, but it just needs 20% of people to vote at all.
Yeah, 20% of voter turnout in order to even be considered a ballot election.
From every constituency.
From every, yeah. So this is
the grant faculty.
Yeah, I
didn't make that clear. Oh, faculty, 20% of the faculty, yeah. And 20% of...
Since the university assembly represents all constituencies, it's not a second that we're going to be too fertile, but we very much do need to... do it the right way first, and then try other options.
So. Please, please encourage your professors.
Please encourage everybody you know to vote.
Thanks, Ed.
Yeah.
Liaison updates. Anything from the EA event?
No, they canceled their last meeting to participate in the Super Hope event, so there was a discussion. But there will be on Wednesday. Right, or was it the one before the Super Hope? Oh, I was out of town at the last one, the one before that was sorry, so I don't have an update.
All right. Thanks, Ben. Faculty Senate, press any updates?
The Faculty Senate got through the collaboration with the Child Care Subcommittee, a resolution to have a faculty panel to oversee the Cornell Child Care Facility. And some people might have thought that they were written up again on the journal for some less than adequate performance that's been occurring there. And so they're forming a committee to actually have a faculty specific oversight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thanks, Justin. And the essay, Jennifer.
Along the lines of the health orientation, which
any trustee updates? Mike Walsh.
Vote early, vote often.
Vote often? Okay. we'll do what we can on that one. Okay. On to business of the day. We have Chris Ford here from the Big Red Barn. She's going to give us an update on, I guess, the resolution that we passed. Thank you.
what the teachers are going to be like. I know that people have met with Sumerji and students, and so I know that there is a positive,
I know that it's a common sentiment that you really appreciate the Big Red Barn and Strap Two, and we really appreciate your work. And I'm just curious if there's anything else we as a GPSA can do to support it more or anything. I know that during the funding cycle, it was held up as an example of a group that never asked for more money. That's wonderful. But is there anything we can do to make your life easier or express gratitude and appreciation for the barn? We can all get double.
Now, one of the things you may look into, and I know other universities do this, that the role of the student bodies, obviously, that in the connectivity of amount of money put in for fund, building funds, and I don't know if that's something that he's interested in, but would be obviously very interesting to see. But it's something that, you know, might get funds quickly or whatever, and I'm not sure if the university.
And Chris, just is that do you know other schools in particular that maybe you could point us to so we could start corresponding? Okay, that'd be great because then we could get in touch with them and maybe we can plan. So if next year's leadership wants to go on vacation with David Sorkin, please look into this as a possible change. Thanks, Chris. Any other questions for Chris? All right, great. Next one is comments on the university calendar. I sent this out to you all by email about a week and a half ago, I think. So I got a few comments in return. I believe I had a comment from Tom and a comment from Chris. If you guys maybe want to just air your comments, and then I thought what we could do is just decide if these are things, these are suggestions that we want to pass on to the provost and if anyone else had comments. So maybe Tom?
There seems to be a problem with when Labor Day is listed on the 2014-2015 calendar, since Labor Day is not Monday, September 1st in that year. It's actually the following Monday. So, there it is.
So, I think that sounds like something that we can pass on to the provost. Fine. Was there something else that you had, Tom?
Well, and so as a result, they backdate everything about a week from that. And so really the entire build-up to 2014-2015 is long, I think, by a week. I've never seen classes begin as early as 8:20. I think they mean to look at 8:27 that year, but I can't be sure.
But wouldn't that just affect the fall? And by the winter and the spring, it
exactly,
would be flat.
Exactly. I'm saying... Because then you look at December, see, so look down in December on 2014-2015, they have exams. That semester, if they go by, that semester is 15 weeks, it's 15-14.
Okay.
So they're going to catch it. We want to catch it
first. Hopefully by 47. We'll definitely catch it on. Chris?
So, I don't know how that would affect the change that I was proposing, but also I think it's the 2014-2015 calendar is something observed markers a big senior day, and common in most universities to observe this holiday. I informed that in the past we've aired this possibility to the administration. There's no problem with it. I would suggest that we do the same thing.
Last year, the GPFA, as Chris mentioned, did pass a resolution to request to the Dean of Students and the Provost that consideration be made. We'd like to reiterate that this year. Is there a second for that motion? Is there any opposition? Any discussion?
Only thing is that, you know, we have to have a certain amount of days, and I know, like, by adding Labor Day, they had to take another day away from something. I think it was fall break. So would this disrupt the number of days of the spring semester where it might take away a day from spring break or something? Did you look into that?
I haven't looked at any formula as to how long the certain semesters are supposed to be. As I understand it, there might be also, someone told me the other day, like, that one semester is even longer than the other semester, which is like 8 weeks. So I have no idea about this one.
Any other? This past year it fell on the break. Last year it didn't. Also last year, I believe we had class on the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Day. So, is there any other discussion on Chris's suggestion? Is there a motion to vote on the matter? Very good. Please raise your placard if you, and this is for members who are in the current voting body. Please raise your placard if you are in favor of recommending to the provost again that we would observe the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Day at the University Holiday. Okay, anyone in opposition? Abstaining? Okay, very good. We'll make that recommendation. Are there any other recommendations for the provost relating to the university calendar? It seems pretty, unless there's any opposition, I mean, that just seems pretty standard. So, thanks for bringing that up in there. Any other points on the calendar? All right, seeing none, we'll move on to the next business. R16. So, Chris, I guess I'll pass you the floor, and then you can pass to the working group as a
semester. I have a few comments, and I'll chat in the working group. I really appreciate all the feedback I got on the blog and the email and the listserv. It's nice that people are engaged and that these issues are interesting and important. That being said, I think the written group decided last week we're going to table R16 for the following year, and I'll make that a few motions at the end of my comment period attending today. And that being, that's all I'm going to say for now. I'd like to open up to the group members if they have anything to add to that in terms of the agenda for next year.
Hello, members. So I guess since there's a lot of issues we want to think about before we do a few all the library members, right? There are some probably possibly less controversial that you can engage the library members for next year. And one of them is just to have meetings between these super fields. So if we have, you know, all the physical science voting members meet the advisory body members and physical science members, and that's kind of that line of communication problem. I think that's one thing we can do. And also there's the GPFA funding for fields funding required to have your fields representative seat filled in order to receive funding. And it's really ambiguous whether that's enforced right now.
It is.
It is enforced?
Yeah.
Okay, so I guess we can talk about that later.
But that's not I feel like we kind of have a chicken and the egg problem going on, which is there's sometimes like a lack of engagement with the advisory body, but then again, there isn't quite as much of a role for them to play. So we were talking about going into next year, particularly with new student orientation and recruitment for new advisory members next year, what we should specifically do. One of the things that the working group has talked about the whole time is basically just putting together a brochure, like, show your GPSA rep now what? Basically clarifying the role of, you know, what a GPSA representative does. And I think, you know, that doesn't require any kind of charter amendment. That means that's something that we can just have available right at the beginning of next year. A second thing also, we discussed potentially trying to get information about the GPSA and what it does into the new student information packets they get when they arrive on
GPSA and my students and make it clear what specifically it is that we do. So those are, I mean, substantive things that we can do going into next year, looking towards, I guess, more active advisory
bodies. Along the lines of charter changes, next year we're going into a charter review year. One potentially uncontroversial change that we might consider next year is language in the charter that specifies the role of advisory body members. This is something that Steve and I both noticed in reviewing the charters of other peer institutions that we don't need to copy them, but many of them, UPenn is notable in this regard, specify the duties of their members to some degree. That being said, it needn't be part of the charter either. This could be a separate web page. It could be that brochure. And this brochure, again, doesn't need to be part of the charter.
Michael?
We were talking about what students sort of brought all this up. And I thought I would try to verbalize the importance of trying to do in a different way that I don't think is really good. So I think initially the committee has a question about proportional representation in the design and all that. Then it turned into a question about whether advisory members from fields should vote and all that stuff. And really, I think it's a good thing to respect. Since we're that, what is okay? It's supposed to serve an advisory role to the university administration and present the interests of the issues that affect them. It is an advisory role, however. We have to ask how we adhere to the administration as well. They will ask who the committee is to
the work that the working group has done, and I know Chris and Nighthawk have put up with multiple emails to me being very, playing the devil's advocate, nitpicking the charter apart, and I appreciate that you worked very hard to incorporate all of my issues within the language of it, and I hope that next year's charter review will begin with looking at the work that you have already done, and then going from there.
Any other comments on our 16 before we... Yeah, Chris.
I too want to recognize the work that we've done, and I think that a lot of issues surround institutional memory, and I want to make sure that we're not shoving this under the rug and saying whatever, we'll just handle it next year sort of thing. And I know that typically GPSA work is done during the academic year and during the summer it sort of takes a break, but at the same time, graduate students are here over that break. And if there is interest to look at
at the options that you mentioned and how to foster better collaboration between voting and non-voting members, I think that it would be good to pursue those options and look into those, investigate them over the summer so that when the new year starts, we can start launching those initiatives almost immediately when the GPSA starts back up. So I don't know what kind of interest there is in the committee to handle this working group, but I do believe in the issues that you are handling, and I think that I would be willing to work with you, or if one of your own committee members wants to start that group up, then, you know, please do so. But I think that that would be a good way to move forward on this.
Yes, we're already there. We've already talked about meeting over the summer.
We'll bring the beer.
I believe the meeting there was discussion about possibly at the chapter house, so if anyone wants to participate. But then,
I was just going to offer that a little bit broader collaboration. I'd be happy to set up a new section on the blog for various issues. So rather than have just one long charter conversation, we can have, you know, sort of minor edits versus various substantive proposals, and then we can make it that broader. And I can set that up, and I'll be around next year. I'll be around all summer, so I'm going to facilitate that process.
I think we probably need a little bit of time off, maybe after June 1st.
Stephen Knight.
I guess, Crafton, we'll take the last comment and then move on the agenda.
So I just had to note that historical reference, the previous charter failed twice before it was passed. So it's just a problem. And that was just actually mostly language, including other charters. And so it's just that's a case of process. So I congratulate you guys on getting this far. And I look forward to seeing what ideas from
here. And thanks everyone all for comments. Thanks to the working group. I guess the two major issues again are increasing engagement among the various members, voting and non-voting, and ensuring adequate representation, and what the appropriate size of voting council should be. Is it 19? Is it 111? 35? How much of 19 is big enough? Well, I'm also not sure 111 is appropriate either. We'll be meeting over the summer. Some of you made the fatal error of announcing that you'd be interested in helping us, but we'll give you your word. The last thing I'll say is we also want to encourage the importance of community work, and that's something that came up in the discussion as well. I did do some tabulations, and there is a dearth, if you will, of advisory by members on committees, and only kind of 23% of members. What that means is that we have a lot of off-the-street, quote-unquote, grad special students on committees, which is great. We're not engaging in that context or advisory body very much. That's one issue to think about going forward. I know I'm out of time, so I'd like to make a motion to lay our system down on the table for consideration for future dates.
Is there a second then?
Second.
Second by Asha. Any opposition? Seeing none, hope they'll be taken off the table next semester. Very good. Thank you. I guess we're moving on to R17 now. We have the ad hoc sustainability committee here. So let's turn it over to Erica.
Okay, well, we don't have much to add after our presentation to the last two meetings, but I think as we made it clear, we think that the sustainability committee came about in response to graduate demand and growing interest in sustainability on campus, and at the same time a void that existed within the graduate community, that there is no committee or organization that responds to the need for graduate students to be more involved in sustainability initiatives. There are other committees on campus, and there are plenty of undergraduate groups, but there isn't something that focuses on the role that graduates can play, and we feel that, you know, that this committee would have that unique responsibility and role within the GPSA. And as it's written into the suggested charter changes, we would continue to work with the undergraduate students. We would serve as representatives to other people so that when they're looking for a contact to work on issues like this, they'll be able to reach out to the chair and to members of the GPSA Sustainability Committee. We had a very active year. We feel that it was fruitful. And we're passing several resolutions and getting the lights off pilot project off the ground and composting at meetings. So we want to continue that momentum next year. And in voting this in now, we'll be able to select the chair and get, you know, get the committee sort of solidified so that it could, get off on a running start, and that, so that committee members can potentially work over the summer on ideas such as
infusing. Point of order. Committees are not set until the beginning of the year.
Okay. So that, well, so anyway, the
to be a chairperson, right?
Yeah, so that the chair can, you know, begin to think about what they want to do on. And there was some activity as far as getting sustainability initiatives infused in orientation activities. Yes, and again, we feel that it would be great to have that legitimacy within the GPSA, and in doing so have the capacity to work with other groups as well as with other committees within the GPSA, which is something that we did plenty of this year. So that's all I have to say. I'm not sure if Julian or Billy has anything to add.
Anyone from the committee who would like to speak?
I mean, I think you summed it up pretty well. I'd just like to voice my strong support for this. I think it's really important that we as graduate students have our own group. You know, we work with lots of other groups, we really understand the importance of the economic activity, but I think it's important that we have our own group, our own group, because we actually care about the sustainability, the impact that we have on the planet, and want to be able to make sure.
Anything else from the committee before we open it to the floor in general? All right. Seeing none, I guess we'll just move into general debate. If anyone would like to speak on this issue, the issue of R17. Trustee Welch.
Yes, I'd like to actually first offer a dissenting opinion as the former representative for the President Climate Association Committee, and now the appointed graduate student representative on the President Sustainability Sustainable Campus Committee. I would like to thank first the Sustainability Committee for doing work this year, trying to get this board out there. I stepped on the GPSA originally about 5 years ago, almost, with the intent of being involved in sustainability issues at this university. And I've been able to kind of weave my way around, find different avenues, find the best way to approach things. And I really think it's a good job that people are coming out, people are getting more and more excited each year. But what I think really needs to happen is a very focused effort going on. And we already have a number of sustainability committees, organizations, groups on campus, and we're getting more and more each day. This new one is actually going to meet tomorrow. One thing that I really want to make sure of is the fact that these issues need to be presented in a centralized area. And this is, we do this in the area of family services, we do it in diversity. We don't do it at separate assemblies in these areas. We come together, figure out our issues before we present them in this way for a big assembly. My concern with this is that if an issue that comes up, like Marcel said, one assembly could have a completely different view of another assembly through their sustainability. I can definitely see the employees or the faculty because they hear more often that they're living in the estate area in Thompson County for a longer period of time. Be more involved with, be more concerned about the local issues as well. Whereas as grad students, we're going to be, living a lot longer, we're going to be moving on, we're more concerned about the bottom line of our campus. And that can lead to two different conclusions on the Marcel Shale issue. We need to get these issues out to centralized locations, preferably, I think the University Sustainability Committee is under the UA, is a great central location to have. This is the area that these issues need to be dropped up. It's not the role of the GPSA or one of its communities to be focused on university sustainability issues. Second, I want to just touch upon funding. Brian is actually
procedural.
Going through a memo that a number of us have jotted together over the past couple of weeks. And this is... Just sit on this for a second.
Okay.
And with this slide, we recommend that we rename the University Assembly Sustainability Committee to a Joint Assembly Sustainability Committee, something that's owned by everybody. We want, and Ed and I have already accomplished this at the UA level, we've already expanded access, expanded membership to the Sustainability Committee. Anywhere between 2 or 3 voting members in the Joint Committee, and the committee is going to be open to everyone. And we're hoping to pull in you know, all sorts of people, grad students, undergraduate organizations, our ECOS office, together in the same room so we can focus on these issues together. Sustainability is a team effort. We can't shut people out and focus on some stuff that we think is specific to our position. There are very few issues that are. We're encouraging this committee to publicize all meetings. Brian, next slide. So that's the committee. I've interacted now with the FA, the chair of the FA Environmental Committee, and he seems pretty excited about the second take on things. And this focuses the task of the constituent assembly, the under the FA and the DPFA. And what we propose is that right now the FA and the DPFA need to focus on establishing green funding guidelines for organizations under the wildland funding process. I've talked to Asha and I've talked to Dave about this. They seem pretty in the groove with that layout. But this needs to be done in tandem with our appropriations committee, with our FC committee at both the undergraduate and the graduate level. It cannot be one thing that gets delegated to the sustainability committee. Second, I think there is a need for both assemblies' sustainability committees to continue on for at least another couple months in their current fashion right now. As the committee has done this year, they've done a great job in helping us be more sustainable at this meeting. They need to help the GPSA and the FA for more to institutionalize these practices. Sustainability is everyone's issue and everybody's responsibility. This should not be delegated to a committee. This should be part of the executive job description that they need to operate and at the end of the day, any issues that come up that relate to how the university operates sustainability should be referred back to Joint Assembly's Joint Center for Sustainability. We've tossed this around. We've talked with people in our environmental compliance sustainability office, our coordinator, our sustainability coordinator, undergraduate, involved in some undergraduate organizations. They seem pretty excited about a coordinated, targeted approach that really tries to aim at the issues that we're all talking about. So what the GPSA could do today, and one of the things I'm concerned about with this resolution that pops up is that really concerns me is the fact that this resolution actually labels explicitly two bylaw funding groups, grad orientation and the Big Red Barn. I think it's great that we have a good rapport with them so far, but we really shouldn't be micromanaging our groups, especially through the sustainability committee. Those groups should be interacting directly with the Appropriations Committee, and any sustainability effort. The Appropriations Committee should be the group that develops policies, develops incentives for these groups to act sustainably, and the sustainable mechanisms that these groups choose to follow should come from the ground up, from these groups up. And I'm really concerned that this resolution sets a precedent in our charter for micromanaging violent funded organizations in such a way. So I encourage that it's tabled, and the GPSA make a motion to kind of adopt this approach that I think the FA will follow up very shortly.
Great. Thank you. Thank you, Mike. Moving on, I say we have a little time left on this resolution, but just so as many people can speak as possible, now I'm moving on in general debate, maybe we'll just have a one to one and a half minute time limit, if that's all right. Brian?
I just have a couple of concerns regarding some of the language. Something someone brought up to me, and this is why also I would recommend a motion to table it at this time. There's the phrase sustainable behavior, and looking at it from, you know, what happens in years to come when the future GPSA looks and says in the charter, sustainable behavior, and there's no clear definition for that. So I think some more work needs to be done with that, and I
point of order. Where does it say that the charter is a charter?
I'm sorry, that's it. Bylaws.
And that can be sent out as just by the body. So put it right next to it.
I still have issue with the phrase sustainable behavior. With that.
That's all.
Yes, and one other comment regarding the great interest. So as Ed mentioned, that there was two additional voting seats put onto the UA Sustainability Committee, and that was announced to the entire GPSA, voting and non-voting members. Just to let you know that there were two seats, and only two people applied for it. So I'm not implying anything. I'm just letting you know that out of all the GPSA, there was only two people interested in that. That's all for me.
Any other one to speak? Asha?
So, Mike, you mentioned that, you know, we shouldn't micromanage bylaw-funded groups through a committee of the GPSA, and I agree with that. But I also see that there may be benefit to having this committee in the sense that the Appropriations Committee has a lot of groups to deal with and a lot of things to consider when considering byline funding and the recommendations it makes to the GPSA and to the student body. So in the sense that the committee members may not have any idea or knowledge or interest in sustainability on the Appropriations Committee, it might be wise to have a graduate GPSA sustainability committee that would be able to advise, not micromanage these groups, but advise, for instance, the Appropriations Committee in trying to, you know, bring out sustainable requirements for the groups that we buy like funds. So, you know, I don't want it to be like a middleman type thing, but I do see that more things on the Appropriations Committee, having been on the Appropriations Committee and seeing, you know, how much time we took to meet with these groups and see that there are meetings and requirements that we already have them meeting, it might take some of the burden by having a group that is considered that can advise to that. So.
Comment?
Sure. Well, I guess I'll let someone else speak that hasn't yet. Tom?
I don't see anything in this resolution that conflicts with the negative points or the formally kind of in opposition points brought up by the speaker. It seems to me that all that can still be done and that we'd be better served having a standing committee in place rather than an ad hoc committee at this
time. Okay. Chris?
My point is taken, I understand them and contribute to a lot of the internal operations of the university. I do think that having simplified the service is important, but also having a standing committee in existence to implement some policies arrived at that sustainability committee could be important with it at the action steps from the GPSA, that a committee there in place dedicated to the issue. Whether or not that's a standing committee, I think it's merit to having that versus an ad hoc committee. I do have a point of information. Ad hoc committees can be reauthorized now or something next year.
Next year. So you can continue to meet during the summer, but you have no official status.
Brian, I believe you had a point you want to follow up on.
I am still concerned with reading some of the language. I feel that part of the committee is acting, so two comments. One, that it's acting as a watchdog on the GPSA regarding its actions, as well as on the two byline groups. And in response to Asha's comment, yes, it would be nice to interact with the byline groups, but why are we only selecting out those two? There are many other groups.
I didn't write this resolution.
No. I'm just bringing comments about that. We have all these byline groups, and yet it's only these two that we're including here. And I know why. It's because those are the two groups that the Ad Hoc Sustainability Committee worked with this year. But to do so with those two, what about the others?
Any other, Erica? Did you
just want to respond to that particular point? Those are the places where graduate students congregate. So we thought that, you know, because of that, that's why. Yes, the president is there. That we worked with them this year, but also because we're, as it's written in the language, is that we want to have events and work with them to sort of plan things that engage graduate students. I agree. I just to reiterate Tom's point, I don't think anything that anyone's brought up actually goes against what we're trying to do here. We're not trying to shut anyone out. We're trying to, in fact, continue the collaboration that we've seen this year. And, you know, members of the USC, the USC has supported this resolution, as has Fravaret, or the chair for the SA Sustainability Committee. So we've got plenty of support from all sides, from the existing sustainability committees on campus. And I don't see how having this committee would, you know, deter the goals of a larger centralized committee. And I think it's better to have a committee that's actually smaller so that more things get done within and for graduate students. That's not necessarily from the top down, where we're just one of many members from the university. And it's built into the suggested charter changes that we will work with the USC. And just to add, this all this about the joint joint USD, that, you know, no one's ever talked to me about that, so I'm sort of blindsided a little bit about that. And the resolution has been written out for several months, so if you sort of got points to nitpick about the language, I think you had plenty of time to bring it up beforehand. So I'm going to leave it at that.
I saw Mike's hand, but Preston also has not spoken yet, so I'll recognize Preston first.
I have questions. Just two things. In the be approved results section right there, I think it's better saying read, you should say amended because of the whole section underneath. And then point I, reduce your point I, need to be reading at the end. That's all I got. This friendly.
Okay. Very good. Mike?
I really take your point, actually, Mark, because I think that underlies, like, the automation that's making me concerned about this right now, is that there's a lot more things that really need to be discussed and being hashed out. These are happening every day with sustainability, in April, sustainability month. And I actually just got an email today from the President of the Sustainable Cannabis Committee that are organizing what areas they'll be involved in over the next couple of years, actually. And they actually list out a whole bunch of subcommittees: buildings, climate, food, energy, land, purchasing, transportation, waste, water, people, that graduate students at undergrad and all parts of the university are going to come together and collaborate on in a central location. And, you know, I would say this, that there was the centralized President's Sustainable Campus Committee that was mentioned in the March 8th minutes of the University Assembly Sustainability Committee. And that was never, I think, reported to the GPSA ad hoc committee at all. And this is what I'm concerned with, this lack of communication, the fact that nothing's getting done in a central location, is just confusing everybody as to what needs to get done. And we can all agree that the stuff that needs to get done, let's spend another year, look at, you know, all the options that are on the table, look at how things are going to evolve, and then hash this out sometime next year, once the university starts, you know, establishing some of these other rules.
Okay. Any other points on the floor at this time? Michael?
I was familiar with what you were saying. Wouldn't it be a good thing to have an official reporting group of point people that would then interact on behalf of the GPSA with this organization? It's not necessarily that they're going to be doing their thing, the central sustainability committee will be doing their thing. This way we have an official recognized GPSA group that can start presenting us at that table.
What I'm saying is keep the ad hoc committee at the charge right now, and wait until the university has flushed out what's going on with all these other committees. And let's start bringing in the GSA when we talk about appropriations, when we talk about the financial issue. And before we start to set these things in place.
Yeah, I guess what I'm saying is having a label of being the GPSA was more powerful than having the physical presence.
I think we'll... I think I'll give it to Chris and then Ed, and then maybe I'll ask for a motion to close debate on this if you all find that in order.
I just have a quick comment in that I don't see other committees, either the University Sustainability Committee or any representatives that we have in the FAs make the Sustainability Committee, making the sort of changes that we've seen about Lightop Cornell or, you know, BYOMUG or anything that we can see and most people agree with as really forward-looking ideas that are going towards sustainability. But at the same time, I recognize that those things were done as a ad hoc committee and not as a standing committee. So I think that we're going to need to keep that responsibility there, but formalizing that and allowing it to go through the normal processes of a standing committee may strengthen the ability for that committee to do its work. That's what it looks like based on the writing of this.
Thanks, Chris. Do you have a point, Preston, or is...
Just a kind of a point that is procedural.
Oh, okay. Procedural? Yeah.
Well, it's just also on the document itself. I don't have any disagreement with what's going in the charter itself. But there's some things in the bylaws that I could disagree with, but the first thing that the Vice President of Operations does every year is they consult all the committee chairs to figure out how the operation
how that committee is going to go over every year, and then they re-up the bylaws for the next thing. So the first thing the voting members next week will be doing is actually voting on the bylaws. And so there will be a second opportunity to discuss everything that's going to be passed or failed here today.
Thanks for that that background question. Ed?
I just wanted to address it. Kind of what you were mentioning about how the force of the voice is tragically. So the idea of the university sustainability committee is that it's a centralized location, that this is the committee, the university committee has three superintendent professionals doing it. And I'm of the opinion that by having this one central location, that when that speaks with a louder voice than you hear from the student assembly, from the graduate professional student assembly, the employee assembly, the senate assembly. This is one where all the student people have come together and spoken with to the administration, to the administration, or to campus offices. So I fully agree that voice, the strength of voice is important. I'm of the opinion that the voice will be louder from a singular unit than it will be from four separate units.
Thanks, Ed. Would there be a motion on the floor to close debate at this time?
So moved.
Is there a second? Is there opposition? Seeing none, we'll give a 2-minute sponsorship speech for closing.
Well, yes, I think we've heard a lot of pros and cons for this. I just want to sort of say that I don't know how many times I've heard the word centralized this evening coming from sort of the people, and I'm kind of glad that we're not living in the 1950s when, you know, communism was
The laughter will not deduct from the sponsorship. So
no, but seriously, I like the idea that you're trying to say you want to have a more coordinated, sort of larger, grand effort. But like I've said before, I think that having a graduate voice and a graduate body, a graduate committee that's representative of the GPSA and graduate students, working within the GPSA, working for graduate students, does not in any way deter from that. We've collaborated with all the groups that we've been working with. We've learned a lot about the undergraduate groups as well as the university groups. And I think that, this is, in a sense, more grassroots. It's, in a sense, more organic. It's less top-down, more bottom-up, which is what we learn in applying schools that's good form in a way, because it's coming from us as graduate students and sending a statement to the university and to our peers and to our colleagues that this is important to us and that we want to work on. So with that, I think I'd like to close this.
Great. Well, we've already voted on closing debate, so we'll now move into voting on the main motion, which is Resolution 17 from the Environmental, the Ad Hoc Environmental Sustainability Committee. And so the way this will work is we currently have 17 seated voting members. Two of our voting members are no longer seated due to the number of absences they've had. So that means that there are charter change amendments. It, as part of this resolution, it would require 12 votes out of the 17 seated.
Is that?
Yeah. So, yes.
So it's 2/3 of 17, not 14.
2/3 of the 17 of the seated voting members. So, all those in favor, please raise your placard. Yes. Those voting in opposition?
Two.
Those abstaining?
Two. That's great.
Okay. At a vote of 10-2-3, Resolution 17 fails.
Ad hoc management question this time.
Sure.
Since ad hoc committees are constructed by the request of an existing committee chair, I'd like to move that the GPFA encourages either the VP of Operations or the
Don't look at me. In about 20 minutes, don't look at me.
I'm making a motion right now to reestablish the Sustainability Ad Hoc Committee for the duration of at least another year.
I'd just like to, procedurally, if maybe Brian Preston could comment on this.
That's just a motion for the next slide. So just
no, I'm hoping that the existing chair would have to pick the GPSA Ad Hoc Committee for another year.
I'll let you guys work on the legalese of that, and I will move on to R18. As soon as the legalese is worked out between these three gentlemen. R18, Mike, do you have a presentation for us?
A short presentation. So, R18, last time I presented it, there was some controversy about funding the it stood last time, the money was to come from the Finance Committee. And I have some thoughts about it, some spirited debate, or discussion, I should say, with some members behind the scenes. And you know, Mike Walsh made some good points about, Asha has made some very good points about the dangerous precedent that that may set if money is taken out of the Finance Committee. So I've decided to take that language out and recommend that the council for next year consider funding it from the OGBSA budget committee rather than the Finance Committee. And the only other thing I wanted to add to it is, I don't know if I discussed the rationale for the resolution last time, so I don't want to go over the rationale for it. The idea is to basically understand how the $500,000 was spent on violent groups, you know, how that money actually is received for communities. In addition, the idea is to include other certain items of interest to graduate students. For example, Liam asked if the Transportation Committee has been working on it. He wanted to offer some questions on that. Some other people approached me about putting other questions in. I think it's a great precedent for us to collect information in a scientific way so we can make decisions based on that, right? And that's all that's your policies, that's what good policies are about, and make the actual decisions. And hopefully this was the survey committee will set a precedent eventually will be institutionalized. If we have questions about how certain things work and certain uncertainties, we can survey the registered population and actually go to the administration and say, look, these are the facts on these issues. Most students utilize transportation. This is how most students utilize how we can. But how groups utilize the $500,000 worth of funds is absolutely critical for the members of the handle off, because we don't, I was on the council, I guess it was council this year, and we had the discussion last year, which we was presenting their own numbers, and I didn't know, what to make out of any of that. So it's a good idea to start getting some accountability into council. So again, this resolution basically recommends the incoming council to strongly consider funding, creating the continuum of the committee on the information gathering survey as to fund this. I've emailed everyone a copy last night. I've added to Preston and Asha have emailed suggestions to me to incorporate into the resolution which I've done. So one of the whereas has a detail of where the money was coming from exactly. Asha's Preston was to put language that would identify that would signal to the appropriations chair to work closely with the survey committee chair, so that there's a point person. Brian, I emailed the resolution.
So I didn't put it on the blog this morning. Oops, that's my manuscript.
Yeah.
You don't want to read that. Big words in it.
Protein.
No, actually, immunoprecipitation.
Happened yesterday.
Love that?
That happened when you got
all right. I'm doing it on Wednesday if you want to come out. All right, is this it? Okay. Let's see if I can make this a little bit less legible. How's that?
And so you would like us to look at this and vote on it now, Mike?
Yes. Could I ask for details on what I saw the email, so just for the public forum, what were the comments that Preston and Asha gave, and are you satisfied with the amendments?
Yeah, so the amendment that I gave was specifically detailing how the GPSA should look at funding the survey outside of using the FSA money. And the two ideas that I propose is one, given the fact that we voted on a break-even budget this year, if we were to do so based on this year's numbers, we could use the increase in the byline funding amount that the GPSA received from this last funding cycle to the next one that's coming up, and that's, I believe it was 15 cents increase to the GPSA over the amount that it came to roughly $1,500. That already could cover half of it. And the other half could be from the fact that this year we set aside $4,000 for the Ivy Summit production, and because we're not hosting the Ivy Summit, we do not need to use all that money. Now, the previous year we allocated $1,000 to sending our officers to the Ivy Summit. So, assuming we still spent $1,000 to send people to Ivy Summit, we still have $3,000 left over, which leaves more than enough money to fund the survey in full and have money for other GPSA uses. So those were my additions to where the money could come from to internally fund the survey.
And are you satisfied with the amendment?
Well, the one thing I'm confused about is the fact that it's an ad hoc. Could we recommend, based on this debate that you guys had right now, we can't recommend them to have an ad hoc committee, right? Like,
well, we can. There's a way we can do that.
Okay, so the wording is still legal on that.
We'll have
like
to do a. We're gonna have to do a motion, but yes.
Mike.
Parliamentary, whatever. Can I read the Robert Rules of the Special Committee? The question right now. A special select red hawk committee is a committee appointed as the need arises to carry out the specified task, at completion of which, that is, on presentation of the final report to the assembly. It automatically ceases to exist. A special committee may not be appointed to perform tasks that fall within the assigned function of the existing standing committee.
Good.
So I was thinking this, and I don't know if you just jive with your interpretation of the chart, but that at any point in time, any deliberative body can, in fact, appoint an ad hoc committee to take care of the situation.
Correct.
And this just says, not appointing a committee, just saying a good idea.
So suggesting the creation of a committee, not create.
Suggesting the thinking.
All right. Any questions or points on the floor with regards to RAT?
I also asked what Creston's concern was and if he satisfied.
Correct.
So mine was more of an institutional memory thing. If we just put this out, it might just get a brush on the rug. So I asked that appropriation committee chair be the one responsible to take this up and look at it next year. Over the fact that they'll be in charge of submitting the budgets to the GPSA.
Any other points or motions on the floor? Dave?
I have a question. Do you see this being a one-time thing, maybe every 2 years? My concern is the funding expense is roughly $3,000. We're going to do this every year and start adding up to. So we're just going to have money.
No, that's a good question. I don't think. So, I think the survey probably doesn't go off, but looking at the groups, we do at least once in the year before there is a conference. I don't think it should be done in a single year. However, there are concerns that accumulate for council, the questions that the council needs. I don't think doing it every 2 or 3 years would be a bad thing. What a lot less for all sessions. Reflects there's a per year thing behind so and chances are it'll actually cost a lot less because you do recovery. Why does it do recovery selection? I don't want to say how much it costs exactly a lot less because it costs you over $500. So
that happens to be a very high responsibility for the recovery, that you probably do it more often. But you definitely do it at least once every 5 years.
Stephen?
Yeah, just another question. Say one of the biggest points in the question on James is how the GPFA funding system, but the budget system.
No, the byline funding.
The byline.
All right. Motion to close debate and move to vote.
That's in order. Is there a second?
Second.
Second. Any opposition? Closing debate. All right. Seeing none, Mike, do you have any concluding comments? Or is it just... Very good. So now we're voting on R18 here. All those in favor of Resolution 18 as worded on the screen, please raise your placards. This only needs a majority.
So,
those in opposition?
One.
Those abstaining?
Two.
Okay. And a vote of 12 to 1 to 2. Passes.
I'd like to make a motion at this time.
That's fine, right?
Motion to, as Vice President of Operations and Chair of the Operations and Staffing Committee, which originally asked for the vote for the Ad Hoc Sustainability Committee, that the motion to extend the Ad Hoc Committee's charge until the end of next year.
So
I'm making a motion.
Oh.
Motion.
Is there a second?
What are you moving?
Motion that the Ad Hoc Sustainability Committee charge be extended to the end of next year.
Oh.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay.
Well, what's that? Okay. Yeah. Well, Erica actually brought up a point. So, we'll finish voting on this, and then we can move on to the point that Erica brought up. This point would impact the current vote. Does anyone have a problem with us moving on to this point that would impact the current vote? Okay. So what?
Sounds like great.
What we found out is that Suresh Murugasan submitted his votes for the resolutions on the table this evening. And he voted in favor of R17, which means that 11 people voted in favor of R17. The chair of the assembly is not allowed to vote on regulations unless the legislation is something, unless my vote would affect the entire vote. And so I would ask for a reconsideration of the vote on R17 so that I could vote in favor of R17, seeing that the majority of the constituency voted in favor of that. Yeah. So moved. Is there a second for a reconsideration of the vote? Dave? Please raise your placards if you are in favor of reconsidering the vote due to the explanation. Okay. So we'll now reconsider the vote. So I guess now we will just vote again on the on R17. If you are in favor of R17, please raise your placard at this time.
Ten.
Suresh and Mike. 12 in favor. Those in opposition?
Two.
Two. Those voting, those abstaining?
One.
Two.
Two.
Yeah.
And as I said, I vote in favor of this because the majority of this assembly supports it. At a vote of 12 to 2 to 2, R17 passes. We will. I guess we're going to move on to GPFA officer elections. Now, the way the elections will work is that I will retain the chair until a president is elected, and the president will have elections for all the rest of the officers. I have a list here for whoever is elected. These are the officers that you need to elect.
There's descriptions for all of the positions on the board. Well, when you get to it, you'll see it. I'm not going to bore you them all right now.
So, the way it works is that a majority of the voting body members for next year So all those that have been raising your placards this evening, unless you were reelected, you're lame duck. Thanks for your participation thus far. But so all members for next year, maybe if we could just go around quickly, and people who are members for next year, if you could just raise your hand quickly, say your name and what area of the graduate school or what professional school you represent. So anyone who's a member next year, I guess we'll just start over here and go around.
I'm Nicole Barron. I'm in the psychology department, so I guess I represent food sciences.
Chris Bart, social sciences. I'm Belsersky, humanities. And of course, I'm humanities.
You know, social sciences.
I'm for sports at large. Really cool, social sciences. Yeah, social school, social sciences. Miranda Adra, law school.
Bobby Hart, Florence, geography school.
Christopher Adkins, social sciences.
Professor Benzo, physical science.
Ben Hefner, physical science.
All right, I think I got everyone. I was trying to scribble frantically, but please, so I just have the name. We have here Nicole, Chris, Tom, Evan, Stephen, Jennifer, Billy, Strauss, Randa, Chris, Bobby, Kyle, Siska, Nia, Creston, and Ben. Did I miss someone? Okay.
I'm ahead of them.
All right. Thank you very much. So, great. The way it works, I don't know if I already said this, please tell me if I'm redundant. A majority of the voting body has to elect the officers, so if there are more than two candidates and no single candidate gets the majority, then we'll have a runoff between the two candidates that receive the most votes, so that one of the candidates can receive the majority for a position.
So just to be clear, that means that nine people need to vote for somebody to actually get office. It's a majority of seated members?
Majority of people present.
Yeah, majority.
If that.
Majority of voting members.
Yeah. Yeah. The majority of the voting members.
How many is that? What's the number?
16.
Okay. So we need 9.
So we need 9.
Okay. 9. Very good. Okay. Are there any nominations on the floor for the office of GPSA president for the year 2010-2011. Ben, I saw your hand first.
I'd like to nominate Grandpa Creston Mansell.
Creston, do you accept the nomination?
Okay.
Usher.
I would like to nominate the newcomer, Tom Balserski.
Tom, do you accept the nomination?
Yes.
Are there any other nominations on the floor for the office of president? Okay, we will, I guess, not going once, going twice. Very good. So I guess since I heard the nomination from Creston first, I will give you a minute and a half to speak.
Let's go quick. So I'm Creston Mansell. This is going to be my fourth year on the GPSA. I started as a council representative representing civil and environmental engineering. I slowly worked my way up to student advocacy chair. And I don't think Nighthawk remembers this, but I think I was his opponent for his at-large seat in the very first year I was there, because you got elected in at-large like halfway through the semester.
I ran, and they had this common sense not to elect me, and it's actually what happened.
I've been here for a while, and throughout the time period, I've gotten involved in representing minority groups within the graduate student community that often don't have a voice heard. This includes students with children, family services, and basically groups like that who often get kind of forgotten for the traditional graduate student path. As president for next year, I would probably be more of an advisorial role, trying to just make sure that the opinions of the body are heard throughout the administration, and to continue some of the initiatives that have come about this year, including increasing the amount of communication between the graduate and professional student assembly and the students that represent, and also trying to have a more appropriate representation. And that might include charging the vice president of operations to look at how to change either the bylaws or the charter itself. And I serve probably as an advisor role to the vice president of operations as they go through the charter change due to my significant knowledge of the charter change. Because of, I was also the chair of the charter review committee last year. So, and yeah, any questions?
I guess we'll, we got time for one question. Seeing none, Tom?
So you can all hear me. It's about me. I'm an undergraduate of Cornell University, class 2005. I majored in American Studies and Economics, so I bridged the quad right there. In some ways, I've been doing that ever since. I have a master's degree from SUNY Stony Brook in history, and now I'm in my first year going into my second year on the PhD program in history. This year, I served as a member of the Appropriations Committee and helped advise the discussion and outcome of student activity. I was a field representative to history the day I got here. I volunteered to do it. And I've become involved as an at-large member of the voting body. And next year, I'll serve as a humanities member of the voting body. I participated in social events. I've helped with the BYO mug, the TGIF, some chagrin, and served on the Committee for Academic Integrity. The humanities, and we're zero for zero right now. About me in other ways, and this is the question, this is where I'll answer the question, how I make a good leader, a good president. I'm critical, I'm engaged, and I'm open, and while the presidential role is in many ways to chair the meeting and be that high-level figure, I also believe the role of the president is to set the tone for the assembly. And whether this means that he's more of an advisor or a leader, a guide or a friend, this depends on the moment which we're in. I think right now we need a strong leader as GPFA. I have three big platform ideas. One is we need more social events. I think we need to be a presence in the graduate professional community. We need to take the barn to them. We can make Cornell better through Pine. Number two is representation and engagement. That's the theme that's been coming up. I strongly believe we need to, we need to go out and beat the bushes. We need to get every field aware of what the GPSA does. Whether this means knocking on PGS's doors or emailing them until they say stop. We need to make sure they know this is a responsibility of every department, or rather field here, that there be representation on the council. The president can do that. Finally, we need to connect more with other assemblies. I'm very pleased by the idea that the SA, the UA, and the EA are coming together through these once-a-month breakfasts, which I've attended for the first time, which is wonderful. But we need to continue that strong presence. Because in many ways, we're just in the middle of what will be our transition to faculty, a lot of us. We're employees potentially in the university. It's important we know what comes next to us. I guess lastly, I'll say that it's been a pleasure to serve this year, and I really look forward to serving again next year.
Thanks, Tom. Time for one question for Tom. All right. Seeing none, Amy, if you just pass the slips around. Please take a slip. Raise your hand to grab a slip if you are going to be, if you are a voting member who is eligible to vote.
Eligible
candidates remain
in the room?
Yes. Yeah. Candidates, the two gentlemen running can also, it's appropriate. What? Oh, yeah. So there was a motion to extend the meeting past 7 o'clock. Since you all have your hand raised, I'll take that. There was a second. And we will, is there any opposition to extending the meeting?
No.
Considering we have no officers, if we didn't. Leon, if you could, thank you.
No.
Only voting members next year. Did anyone who is retiring vote? Okay. Just checking.
I
thought Walden trying to over there. Man, I thought you were trying to vote. You were trying to fix the election. Johnson School does represent 900 students.
In the meantime, we'll show you can see the next.
Yeah. In the meantime, if you're considering executive vice president, please.
Slide.
Preston, if you would please take my chair.
We have to congratulate Nighthawk for a
the helicopter
right
outside, I
think
I'm back.
Yes, yeah, the box
at
the cafe trail.
I think he's heading on out.
The end of an era.
I don't know if that's good or bad.
We're just writing, we're not voting. So the next position that we have to elect is the executive vice president. And if the current executive vice president wouldn't mind actually giving a few statements about what you do and what you feel like the next year would be a good thing to happen.
The EVP is responsible for, and since Resolution 16 just passed, we will most likely still be having the advisory body meeting. So the executive vice president is in charge of setting the agenda for these meetings. They're the bigger meetings that involve more of the, or all of the field reps. So you're in charge of setting that agenda, talking to Amy from the Office of Assemblies, sending out emails, and taking care of the logistics for the room, as well as some of the ordering of food. So it's a lot of logistical and managing and agenda setting. As the EVP, you're also the chair of the communications committee, which means that you run another committee, and you set the budget for that and manage it throughout the year. And through that, we funded the mug this year. We created the new logo this year. We created a blog this year. So we actually set pretty strong precedent. And I feel that there's a lot of, you know, plenty of room for creativity in communication. If that's what, you know, you feel like you're creative and you want to reach out to the graduate body, it's a great way for you to get involved. We also send out the GPSA info. And so aside from that, you're sort of responsible for recruitment and retention of GPSA reps. And that's about it. Just as part of the executive committee, well, you sort of see what's involved, but you're just required to sort of stay on top of everything and get involved wherever else you're needed.
Thank you. So at this time, we're going to open the floor to nominations. And remember, you can self-nominate yourself. That's what self-nomination is. So Ed, with first hand.
I want to nominate Dan Swart.
All right. And any other nominations? Brian?
I'd like to nominate Tom.
Six one. Are there any other nominations? Then?
Six one.
Any other nominations? Seeing none, do I have a motion to close the nomination?
I so moved.
Is it second?
Second.
Can I move because I'm not voting on
No, you're kidding.
No.
Okay,
so you move
for me.
Okay. Okay. And we have a second. So nominations are closed. I guess a vote by acclamation would be a good standing at this point. Is there a motion to vote by acclamation?
So moved.
So moved by Tom, second by Chris. And now at this point, I guess, Jen is now currently... is currently the executive vice president. Would you like... Would you like to make a brief statement? That's a brief statement. The next position that we have to vote on is the Vice President of Operations, and if the current Vice President of Operations would like a quick statement about what your operations are.
Anyway, all right, so you chair the Operations and Staffing Committee, which includes all the executive members and all the committee chairs to discuss the agenda. You'll help oversee the charter review, and your big thing is you're the committee czar. So you are in charge of the staffing of all graduate and professional students to all committees, GPSA and university committees. So that's approximately 40 committees to staff. You keep in contact with them, so I get monthly reports from all of the committees, graduate students. You ensure that all committees are functioning. If you chair meetings when the president or the executive vice president is unable to or at their request. You are the GPSA parliamentarian, and working with Nighthawk this year, I've helped make sure that all the resolutions were posted to the GPSA website and were distributed in that final sentence that said, be it therefore, without that sent to. I was the one that was sending out those resolutions.
Thank you. I'll open the floor to nominations. Do I have any nominations at this time for the Vice President of Operations? Yes, any member can make a nomination.
Tom
accepts. Are there any other nominations? And you can self-nominate at this time. Seeing none, do I have a motion to close the floor to nominations?
So moved.
Do I have a second? And seeing there's no opposition, do I have a motion to vote by acclamation? I'll take that as a motion. Do I have a second? Second. All right. Tom, congratulations.
I want my computer back.
The computer had to come with the job. I don't know which
one. I'm going to scrap it. Go on.
Do you want a minute to speak to the body, or?
Actually, since the chair has offered me a minute, I think that this will be a very important role for next year. Since, as it says, we have to review the charter in the first part of the year. So I think I've already given some attention to that through this restructuring resolution. So I'm really looking forward to seeing what comes about. It's a little prescient that I did buy Robert's Rules of Order on the internet just the other week, so I'll read that over and keep me honest there. I actually really respect Brian a lot. Where do you go? So I look up to him. So I think it's fitting. So thank you.
All right, and with that, the next position that we have to elect is the counsel to the GPSA. And this is open to any member of the executive committee that is outgoing at this current time. And so one of the three, if you want to self-nominate or nominate one of your peers, that would be...
I would like to nominate Sir Brian Forster over there.
Do you accept, Brian? All right. Is there any other nomination? If not, seeing that, do I have a motion to close nomination? We have a motion. Do I have a second? Second by Chris. And so, seeing that there's no competition at this moment, do I get? Yeah, we got the motion and the second by Ben. Right. I'll give you a brief moment to say actually what the Council of the Assembly does.
I'm not a voting member anymore, and I'll serve as an ex officio member to both the Executive Committee and the Operations Staffing Committee. And it's more good to work with the current execs and operations staffing to ensure that the GPSA agenda from this year can be brought next year, and I think it's something to remember.
Thank you. And so the next position that we have is the Appropriations Committee chairperson.
Can I just Tristan, if people are in the room who are retired at this point, there's a reception out here, there's beverages and food. If you feel like your presence is no longer needed in the room, you are free to recuse yourself.
Thank you.
Don't forget we also have a Lloyd.
We'll be doing those. I'm recusing myself. Thank you.
So the next position we have to fill is the GPSA Appropriations Committee chairperson. So at this time, Dave, you'd like to speak on what you did last year and how it will be different next year?
First thing we need to do is we need to create a budget for the GPSA and all the standing committees. We have to get input from the committee that is how much money we need over the course of the year. And we're in the budget. Those of you around are two versions of the budget. One was a surplus budget, and one was a zero budget. And then there's a byline thing. Fortunately for you, you won't have to worry about that this year. But in absence of the byline funding, one thing that you probably should do is keep in contact with the student assemblies so you don't lose that sense of the other contact with the teachers and send out for your next committee chair. I don't know if only have students.
And also, as of tonight, you have to look over Resolution 18.
Yep, that is true. So at this time, we'll open the floor to any nominations. You can nominate yourself or one of your peers, and it's open to anyone in the room to nominate.
Come on, it's not a byline funny here.
Who's the
voter?
I'll nominate myself.
What is your name? What
was
it?
Kyle Elder.
Kyle Elder. Do we have any other nominations? Seeing none, I'd like to have a motion to close the floor to nominations. So do I have a second? Second by Chris. And, we have a motion to vote by acclamation. So moved and second. So Kyle, would you like a minute just to say what you plan to do next year?
I am going to watch it.
All right, and moving right along, we have to now elect the Finance Commission chairperson, and if the current Finance Chair would like to describe.
Oh, I would love to describe
it. Okay.
1 minute,
or less.
Bullet point one, you have to hold a meeting once a month after you have decided on your committee members and go through the annual budget, appeals, and special project requests that are submitted every month. The second is you will be bombarded by hundreds of emails from students that ask you the same thing over and over and over, all of which is available at GPSAMC/funding guidelines. And we're going to get a huge budget because every meeting has dinner. And then you submit your monthly report, Tom. And then in the spring, you have two big days, which is the spring funding workshop and the big funding day, which is coming up May 8th. Oh, but to sell this, a little bit more about the email thing. Ari set up an internal email system where there's a queuing thing, so...
No.
It might help you with the volume of emails. Yeah. There's a ticket system.
Is that good?
I'm supposed to sell that. Ari wanted us to plug that and get it going. I thought it all year.
Pretty good, though.
We're going to open the floor to nominations.
I'd like to nominate Bobby.
Are there any other nominations on the floor? Seeing none at this time, do I have a motion to close nominations? Come on, it is. Tell them that they should do this. Four people raised their hands. So let's just do Bed Chris. How do you spell your last name?
Sorry?
Last name, please.
Hartshorn. H-A-R-T-F-H-O-R-N. Perfect.
Thank you. And so the next position that is actually open to election is the Advocacy Committee Chairperson. Sorry. I did not submit a slide in time. As the Advocacy Committee Chair, you deal with a wide-ranging amount of issues for graduate professional student needs. Yes, sir?
If you guys are having a conversation, could you please go outside? Because we really need to finish this business bill.
Thank you. So the graduate and professional, you serve as an advocate for graduate and professional student needs. These range from family and healthcare issues, from medical issues to, at one point, we worked with the mental health subcommittee to actually pass resolutions in order to ensure that these are appropriate. Overall, it's a pretty, you kind of set the agenda and you try to get as much done as you can. And it's a good way to get involved and get to know the administrative system and get to know how the university functions and can respond to graduate student needs. So if that sounds interesting to anyone, we're going to open the floor to nominations. Again, you can nominate yourself or someone you know.
I'd like to nominate Grant.
Grant, do you accept?
Yes, I accept.
Are there any other nominations at this time? Seeing none, do I have a motion to close nominations?
So moved.
Do you have a second? All right, Fred, just for the vote by acclamation. Congratulations. I forgot to offer a minute to the other. Would you like a minute to speak about what you're going to be doing with the Finance Commission?
I'm just really, really excited to work with this body next year and looking forward to having a big impact.
Thank you. And would you like a minute to discuss what you're going to do with student advocacy?
Well, just what you said, I'm very excited to be working with you next year. And I'm also going to push the minority student agenda and
thank you. And so the next chair that we have to fill is the Events Committee Chairperson. And so Sarisha is not here today, but the is one of the committee members here would like to speak on his behalf? Chris, would you like to speak?
Yeah, so the Events Committee, really this is also as much creativity as you want to put into it. During the spring semester, half of your work will be, or two-thirds of your work will be grad ball, the other third will be other sorts of small events that you can plan. These are usually like grad night out or other more, off-topic like sort of events, like first United States event happen. So if this is really something that we want to pursue, then putting someone with a lot of creativity for social events as the Events Committee Chair is really helpful for the community.
And
it'd
be really awesome
to
have
the last one. Quite awesome.
So at this time, I open the floor to nominations.
I'd like to nominate Nicole Brown.
Do you accept? Would you like more? Would you like more time to think about it? We can come back to the position.
Maybe. Sure.
Are there any other nominations?
Chris
Hexman. Do you accept?
No, I'm afraid I don't have the sort of social
any other nominations at this time? Seeing none, we're going to come back to this position and see if we actually have a candidate. If not, we can elect in the fall as well. And so the next position we are going to fill is the Sustainability Committee Chairperson. And Erica, if you would like to speak about what that committee's thrust has been and what kind of the event next year.
Okay, well, we've talked about it quite a bit today, but basically we started from scratch this year, so it's basically, again, what you make of it. We have created the backbone for it to guide the students coming in, but
we're going to move to nominate. Yeah. So now, since we know of what, and we've discussed this previously, we're going to open the floor to nominations. Do we have any nominations on the floor?
I have a question about
Can anybody get nominated, or do they have to be voting members?
They first have to be voting members.
Okay, thank you.
At this meeting,
I'd like to nominate Joylon. I'd like to change the bylaws immediately. That could be the problem. If the position is filled. Yeah. So then,
Philly?
If
you,
yeah.
I would nominate Billy if she's interested.
So Billy accepts. Are there any other nominations on the floor at this time? Seeing none, do I have a motion to close nomination? So moved. And do I have a second? Second. And then vote by acclamation. Those three again. Would you like a minute to speak about what you'll be doing with the committee next year? All right, thank you. And we'll do UA first, then UA after then. And so then the three last positions we have not discussed today are our University Assembly representation. And so these are open to all members. And so we need three nominations, and Ed, you served on the University Assembly this year. Would you like to speak quickly about what you've done?
Yeah, so Bernita served on UP as well. So the University Assembly is actually, as I mentioned tonight, the only assembly at the university that has constituents representatives from all the different constituencies. Notably, the college's single most important thing the University Assembly does is it writes to the campus code of conduct. All students, employees, faculty, everybody at the university. It's a very important document. But it also deals with issues that affect the community as a whole. So things just need to have to involve the community members. So, and as I mentioned earlier, we're in the process of amending the charter, working towards amending the charter. The University Assembly needs to be a stronger body, and the charter is really in that body right now. So we really are working. Finally, for years, we've been talking about amending or fixing this charter, making the UA something positive, and we're making serious progress towards that right now. So this will be an ongoing, this will be a big part of the UA.
All right, thank you. And with that, we'll open the floor to nominations.
Can I ask a question?
Certainly.
Do you know how the meeting structure works? Is it monthly? Is it weekly? Bi-weekly?
It is monthly. It's monthly with additional meetings as needed. So monthly will be two.
Yeah.
And then if you're each of the constituencies has a singular member of the exec board, and they have the executive committee will meet additionally outside. So,
thank you.
So in opening the floor to nominations, one of these positions has to be filled by a voting member of the current GPSA, and then the remaining two seats can be a voting member, but also can be any member of the GPSA population. So that's just something to remind yourself as you're nominated. Brian?
I'd like to nominate Ed Shaw.
Do you accept?
I will do it again.
And you are not a voting member, just to be clear.
I am not a voting member.
Any other nominations? Ed?
Outgoing trustee Mike Walsh.
Outgoing trustee, do you accept?
I accept.
And again, you're not a voting member, just to be clear.
May I nominate myself?
You may nominate yourself, and you are a voting member. So currently we have two non-voting members and one voting member. Do we have any further nominations on the floor at this time? Seeing none, and seeing that we meet the GPSA charter requirements, I'll entertain a motion to close nominations.
I move to close nominations and accept my acclamation.
Thank you. A minute total, so about like 20 seconds each if you want to speak about what you'll be doing on the University Assembly next year.
I'm looking forward to learning a lot from Ed and Mike.
We're going to be busting up some doubts like Ed. All these to the dean back there.
Yeah. All right, and the final position we have is the Events Committee. Do we have a nominee at this time period, or are we delaying it?
I will
time?
Accept. If people promise to help me, I don't want to be alone for the
minute. We're a committee. So the same Chris Bencow before the motion to close debate. And yeah.
President
Mansfield,
motion
yes.
to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn is on the table.
Before you adjourn. Oh. As your humble student and
friendly advisor. This has been a fantastic year. Congratulations to all of you who worked hard to do so much this year. And I wish all of you who are now going to be elected the best of luck going forward. And I look forward to working with you. Maybe not over the summer.
Most of you are joined by the table. We have them.
So moved.
So moved by Chris. We're adjourned.
This has been a production of Cornell University on the web at cornell.edu.